And everyone in a contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, Holy Mother Church is preparing us for Lent. And so today we begin the pre-Lenten season. Interestingly and sadly, the Novus Ordo eliminated this pre-Lenten season, which would only mean less preparation or not good preparation for the season of Lent. We know if we are to do anything well, we have to prepare for it. So the church prepares us for this, for Lent, or begins this pre-Lenten season with already we see purple vestments. There's no more Gloria at Sunday or Ferial Masses. We won't have the Gloria till Easter Sunday, except for Masses of feasts. We will not hear Alleluia, that magnificent word. It's a Hebrew word, and it denotes a state of exaltation, but Holy Mother Church takes Alleluia away from us. In past centuries, there was even a liturgical observance for saying bye-bye to Alleluia. And we will hear that word return with great majesty and glory on Easter Sunday. So the church is preparing us for Lent. And today, we could also say that a very clear theme comes across, that we are fallen. That's another way the church prepares us for Lent. We have a fallen human nature. St. Paul puts it very clearly. He says, I chastise my body. Why would he do that? Because he had a fallen human nature. In the breviary lessons, we begin with the story of creation. And in chapter 3, I believe it is, that's where Adam and Eve become fallen. They commit original sin. They lose those special, well, they lost the greatest gift of all, which was sanctifying grace, but they lost those other gifts as well. Among them, the ability to perfectly control the lower nature just by thinking about it. And from that moment on, now life was going to be one big struggle, one big effort, a fight to do the right thing. It was not easy from that moment on. And St. Paul uses a sports analogy today. One of the most popular sports of the time was running foot races. And so St. Paul, being aware that people know this, he uses that as an example to illustrate the need to overcome fallen human nature. And he talks about all the sacrifices that athletes make in order to succeed. And they have to train extensively. They have to have less sleep. They have to discipline themselves. They have to change their diet. All these sacrifices. But we know that without that, the person is not going to succeed. Again, there's this fallen human nature. We have to think of our fallen human nature as a rock that's just going to fall as soon as you let go of it. Let go of it, stop making the effort to hold it up, and it falls. So that's the way it was, and will be till the end of time for every child of Adam and Eve. Every one of their children will have to fight, will have to struggle, will have to sacrifice. Otherwise, their fallen human nature will pull them down and have them lose their souls. It's not a dismal view of human nature. It's a realistic view of human nature, that we are fallen. As a matter of fact, I find this so interesting, it's sadly interesting, that Martin Luther had the most dim view of human nature. It's more dim than we Catholics have. His view of human nature is that it is wholly corrupted and evil, and there's no hope really for getting better. And this is the big difference between the Protestant concept of justification and the true concept of justification. Martin Luther says Christ's merits have to cover us like a snowfall over an ugly pile. Call it a dunghill. He says, because that can never get better. So that's why he was so insistent that faith alone saves, because you can't change for the better. That's utterly false. So you see, we do have this fallen human nature, and we have to admit it. If we don't admit it, then we're going to have real problems, huge problems. On the other extreme, and I find this interesting also, sadly interesting, is the Freemasonic idea of human nature. And you know what that is? That there's nothing wrong. Just indulge yourself. Do whatever you feel like. Whatever you do is fine, as long as you don't hurt somebody else. Well, that is utterly false, even worse of a view of human nature. So thankfully, we have the correct human view of human nature, and that it is fallen, and therefore we need to do penance. We need to sacrifice, otherwise we will lose the race. This correct view of fallen human nature informs really our whole life. It's the reason, for example, why we have to pray so much. Why do I have to pray so much? Because I have a fallen human nature, and I need God's help to overcome my fallenness. Why is Holy Mass so important? The daily rosary, again, because I have a fallen human nature, and so does everybody else in this world. Why do I have to strive for virtue? Because I have a fallen human nature. I tend downwards. Therefore, I have to work hard at going upwards in building good habits. Why do we have to avoid occasions of sin? Because we have a fallen human nature. We are strictly obliged not to put ourselves in great danger of sinning. And as we know, there's so many dangers, especially regarding holy purity nowadays. This is why parents are strictly obliged to watch over their children, to prevent them from being exposed to occasions of sin on the internet or other media. And their fallen human nature is even less developed. They don't have even less strength or less formation, so that's why they have to be shielded and protected. This is why we must not put ourselves, all of us, again, into occasions of sin. We're not obliged to avoid every slight danger. That would be impossible to live that way, but anything that's a real danger, a red flag, we must stay out of that occasion. It's an occasion of sin. So again, this correct view of human nature is so necessary. It's true. It's the true knowledge of self. It's why we also do penance, why we will take extra sacrifices upon ourselves, why we must fast and abstain and do other things, because again, we have a fallen human nature. But that is where the reward is, and St. Paul gets that point across. They indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. Keep your eyes on the goal. St. Paul, even as he's talking about chastising himself, he says, he makes it positive. There's an eternal goal to be gained. It won't come easy. And I think it's as we prepare for Lent that we do so in that in a positive way. You know, our tendency is to say that Lent, look at Lent, say, oh, this is the time we have to just not do this and not do that and penance and sacrifice. But again, there's a real purpose to it. a necessary purpose. And I'll go back to the sports analogy. Imagine, you know, some athlete, you know, they want to win the ultimate prize, a World Series or championship or whatever, and they're out there countless times doing calisthenics, practicing basics, again, giving up things so that they can excel better. Can you imagine one of them saying, gee, look at all this that we have to do? Well, if that person has that attitude, he will never be a champion. He'll never succeed. And so you see them, you know, by and large, with very good attitudes about that. They're happy to do it. There's a sense of, you know, this is what it takes to do it. So that's the way we should be in the spiritual life. This is what it takes to do it. This reminds me of something, and I'm not sure where we got this from. Maybe it was Father Anaya who contributed this in talking about, you know, school and what's necessary in school, and that's that sense of discipline. And I think there was a really profound thought there by the statement, discipline is not the enemy of enthusiasm. When you understand the purpose of it, not only do you accept it, you can even be enthusiastic about it because, again, of the purpose involved. So let us prepare with a positive spirit then for the upcoming holy season of Lent. We are not like Stoics who do the sacrificing, the self-discipline just for the sake of doing it so they could say, I did it. No. It is a means to an end. And keep that end always in mind. So be encouraged in your efforts, in your planning, I should say, and of course your efforts, and encourage one another. And may we all have a worthy and fitting holy season of Lent. And that will, of course, prepare us for all the more joyous and grace-filled Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.